that we're going to be able to spend forever thanking you. And yet we want to start right now. Living the forever life right now. Father, we also come this morning as we come to the Word and we recognize that each one of us here has family, has friends, co-workers that we know that don't know you. Would you let our lives be so impacted by your gospel that we will live in a radical way to impact others for Jesus? Open our heart to your Word this morning that we might be touched, that we might be changed, that we might be encouraged, that we might see what it is you're calling us to be and to do, that you might receive great glory. So, Father, I'm asking you to touch hearts here this morning. You'd answer questions here this morning. And I'm praying you just would teach through me. I could just present this for your glory. You're an awesome Savior. Amen. You may be seated. He was in the upper room. He'd spent the evening with his disciples. They had shared their Passover meal together. Before that, he actually had knelt before each one of them and washed each one's feet. And then he explained to them that he was going to be betrayed by one of them. And the unity of that group, the confusion struck that group as they looked around and said, "Who would do this?" And Peter, of course, said, "I would never, never do that." And Jesus said, "You'll deny me three times before morning." And he talked again of the crucifixion that was coming for him. And after that, at that moment, he then states what we call the new commandment. Into this context of this evening where he's going to lay down his life, he says, I'm going to give you a new commandment. And that commandment provides direction for our lives. He said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." And with that declaration, he revealed the radicalness of his call. You see, radical today tends to mean we think of extreme, and Jesus definitely was extreme in what he called it. We talked about the extreme cost of discipleship just a few weeks ago. You cannot be my disciple unless you dispossess your possessions. You cannot be my disciple unless you're willing to lay aside family relationships in your pursuit of me. You cannot be my disciple unless you pick up your cross and follow me. It is a radical thing, but it's a foundational thing is also what radical means. It means the basic element of life. You know, we display to our world the love of Christ. We have that opportunity. And it's in all sorts of little situations and big situations. Yesterday, 65,000 more Syrians crossed into Turkey, driven from their homes by Muslims. What's our response to that? When we know what we know, how will we respond to what we know when he makes a command like that? You see, We talked last week about this idea of if you're going to follow Christ, it's a walk of faith. You don't walk by sight, you walk by faith. It means you choose to trust Christ in every circumstance of life. That's what it means to be a disciple. And as I was thinking about that, I was saying, okay, that's easy for us to say. It's just as you step into each circumstance, then what does trust look like? Isn't that right? You say, okay, what does that look like? How do I do that? Well, here's the command. It's love. Is that when you choose to step into every circumstance of your life with the love of Christ, he says, you will exercise faith. That is the exercise of faith. That in every circumstance, in every relationship, in every encounter of life, you will pour out the love of Christ. He says, that's what it means to be my disciple. And when you live like that, he says, people will recognize whose disciple you are. So it's kind of challenging to think about why doesn't the world believe us? Because if they see Jesus in us, I know not all will come, because even those who saw Jesus in his day, many rejected him. But if they see Jesus in us, is that not an attraction to come to the Savior? So I want to talk about this morning, because this is the basic principle. It is the mark of the disciple, and so I call it the disciple's radical lifestyle. This is both the extreme and the foundation of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And so whether you've been a disciple for some time, or whether you're someone here just exploring that idea, or not even wanting to explore that idea, but you're here, this is what it means to follow Jesus. Turn with me, if you haven't yet, to John 13, 34, and 35. This section that comes out of the upper room discourse. And so he says to them, a new commandment I give to you. And the question is, what's new? Because when you go back to Deuteronomy chapter 4, it said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength, and your neighbor as yourself. That's how Jesus summed up the whole law earlier on. But having done that, he is now moving past law into grace. This is a whole new dispensation. He's stepping into this different expression. And he says that you love one another even as I have loved you. Not that you love one another like you love yourself. Some of us don't feel like we love ourselves too much. Some of us can, we can write that measurement down of how much we love ourselves or don't love ourselves and say, well, I really don't love myself that much, so you're not getting much today. All right, and some of us do that, right? We don't feel like good about ourselves, so we're not that nice to the people around us that day. We measure how much we put out by how we feel. But what's new about this commandment, he says, I want you to love one another just as I have loved you. And he puts a whole different measure to it. Because the measure of our obedience is totally exploded by this principle. And the impact of our obedience, the influence that comes from your obedience, is explained here. And so he says, this is a critical, this is the radical foundational principle. And so he says, love one another even as I have loved you. And he does something there by giving that command, as he takes your eyes off of you and puts it on him, doesn't he? Because I have to think about, how much did he love me? See, that's the measure I'm supposed to be. I'm going to look at this and say, okay, God says he's pleased by faith. My faith is to love as he loves. What's the measure of that? And so the focus goes to him, even as he talks about it just a little bit later here in John 15. Abide in me. And the author of Hebrews says, fix your eyes on me. The focal point of our life is Jesus Christ. He is to be your adoration. And yet it is only following Jesus that leads disciples to love one another as he loves. It is only that when you make that decision that you'll become a loving person. It's only by submitting to Him. It's that denying yourself. It's going after that. To be His disciple, I have to obey His commands. He says, if you keep my commandments, you'll love me. He said, that's the mark of loving me. Right? So it's only in this following that I need to be preoccupied with Christ. So what's that take? Well, friends, it takes loving one another takes a faith choice. It's a faith choice to say, all right, I have a circumstance, I have a situation, will I respond in a loving way? When we were out camping and I was experiencing a great deal of physical discomfort because of the burns that I had had, my nerves were just set on edge, and it was interesting to watch how I would get up each day with a good intention, saying, I want to bless my family. I want to be an encouraging person to be around. And the body would be screaming something else at me. And pretty soon I would find myself, nyeh, 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 nyeh. You know what I'm talking about? That little edginess that we can have. And he says, no, he says, it's a choice. And so that was a situation I was looking at each day saying, okay, how do I keep choosing love right here? Because my body doesn't want to love. My body just wants to pay attention to me. And try and find a way to relieve this. And oftentimes that's what I find people are doing in life. Is the pain of your life can be so overwhelming that you're preoccupied with you and there's no time for others. And Jesus says, I want you to be preoccupied with me, and that the love of my life will then overflow through others. And so that takes a faith choice. What do I mean? It means that I have to believe two things that are declared right here in this passage. All right? If you haven't memorized this verse, I hope that by the time we finish today, you'll have it. Okay? So you're going to hear it a bunch. So he says here what? He says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another even as I have loved you. So if I am going to make a faith choice, I have to believe what? That I am abundantly loved by the God of love forever. I am abundantly loved by the God of love forever. Can you tell the person next to you that this morning? Try that's a long sentence. I don't even put it on the screen. Just try that. I am abundantly loved by the God of love forever. If I believe that, see, that's what he's saying. I'm giving you a commandment. You love as I have loved you. That I have to agree with God that I am a loved man. Some of you can't say that. You're a loved woman. Okay? But it's that I have to agree with God. I am loved. And some of you are so mad at God because he hasn't done something that you wanted him to do. You can't get to the place you're going to love like he loves. Because you're not receiving love. And friends, you cannot give away something you do not possess. That's called embezzlement, last I checked. Yeah. You got to possess it. You got to receive it. So this is a receiving system, friends. It's not an achieving. We don't achieve favor with God by our performance. I receive his love and then I give it. So before I can ever give it, I have to believe I am loved. And that's a great thing to remind yourself of before you ever get out of bed in the morning. And say, I'm loved. All right. It's going to be okay. I don't know what's going to happen today, but it's going to be okay because I'm loved. But then not only do I have to believe that I'm loved, when he gives this command, I've got a faith choice to believe what? I've got to believe that his love for me enables me to love as he loves. Because I find people who will tell me, I just can't love that person. Good. Does Jesus? Yes. Then let him love him through you. Jesus wants to love the people around you, does he not? He actually does love the people around you, does he not? What did he give you hands for? What did he give you feet for? He has made you to be a loving person. So I have to believe that he loves me, but then I also have to believe that he enables me to love others through me. That he's going to love others through me. He can do that situation. And that's the fruit of the what? The fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. That's it. That's the mark of it. All those other characteristics, the other eight characteristics of Galatians 5 for the fruit of the love, the joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Those things are love expressed in personality. When I'm impatient, what? That's not loving. See? When I'm not joyful, I'm not loving. I'm not receiving what he's done. I'm not believing what he says. Friends, this is a faith choice. We talked about this last week, so a little lesson review, okay? Some of you weren't here, so that's good. To hear it again. Not that you weren't here. What I do in response to all God commands reveals what I believe. It's what I'm doing. It's going to reveal what I believe. Okay? So when I say, hey, you've got a faith choice, okay, what are you going to do with that? That's going to reveal what I believe about the love of God. If I believe I'm loved, then I will become a loving person. If I believe I have an adequate supply of love, then why not love? It's the best. It is the most exciting thing to do. You heard that testimony from Timothy already this morning. And it comes straight out of 2 Corinthians 5:14. This was Paul's testimony. I want you to read this because it's to be all of our testimonies. Would you read this out loud with me? For the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died. See, love of Christ controls us. Conclude, he died for all, therefore all died, that they might no longer live for themselves. See, that's what's radical about this, friends. When you really get this, when you really understand what it means to be a disciple of Jesus, your life is over. That's the whole concept of taking up the cross, is that you no longer live for yourself. You live for him who died for you. But that's the awesome exchange, I think. I took my sentence of condemnation in hell. I took my miserable life stuck in my habits of sin. And I exchange it for what? The forgiveness, the love of God, and hope of heaven forever? Is that a decent exchange? That's the exchanged life. I receive what he gives, and then I just give that away. And by the way, have you ever, ever outgiven God? Oh, man, you can't even try. But go ahead and try. It's a fun thing to do. Go ahead and try. And so understand this, friends. The radical concept is the disciples don't live life for themselves. They live for him who gave them life. They live for him who loves them. And so that then flows out. And so love is our choice. It's a choice that we make by faith to say, I'm going to love somebody today. Because let me just use a little silly way here. And this may push some of your personalities, because I know there's introverts and extroverts. I don't understand introverts, but that's okay. I'll just tell you the truth. I don't, because I'm an extrovert. I don't think like that. But this morning, when they said, hey, it's meet and greet time, you had an opportunity to love somebody or not, didn't you? You had an opportunity. You could smile at somebody or just, I ain't smiling at nobody. I don't want to talk to nobody. Just leave me alone. I just came for the message. I'm not even sure I want to hear that, but I'm here. You know what I'm talking about? You made a choice right there, and some of you actually reached out and loved somebody. Some of you reached out and acted like you loved somebody, but you still didn't love them. Nah, it's the American culture. Is that right? It's like, hi. Hi, fine. Yeah, fine, fine. There's a choice. Just because you go through motions doesn't mean you actually are loving. It's a choice. And by faith, I choose to live love. It doesn't mean I'm feeling great. I don't have to be feeling great. Christ wasn't feeling great on that cross. And who was he praying for? He prayed for the people that crucified him, saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Can you imagine what that would have been like if you were a Roman soldier who just crucified this guy and you hear him praying for you? What did he do? He loved them right to the end. He loved his own mom to the end. He took care of arrangements for her right there on the spot. He was still loving. Because that's who he is. He's love. And so when you're here and you're wrestling with stuff, and I wrestle with emotion a lot. That's part of what comes with being an emotional person. But you can feel really defeated. I wrestled with that a lot this last week. It can then make you discouraged. I experienced that this last week. And if you're not careful, that'll pull you right over into that next ditch, next to discouragement. It's called depression. And you just... And what are you thinking about right there? Me, myself, and I are having a pity party for three. But what's this say? My focus is to be Jesus Christ. My focus is to be the love that he has for me. I may not feel well, but I am well loved, and therefore I have love to share. See, he loved even as I have loved you. So when you're living in that life wrapped up with yourself, that's not Christianity, friends. That's why the world won't buy it. That's a Christian-flavored something, but it's not Christ. And so we have to live something different out in front of them. So he says, love them even as I have loved you. So then he puts that measure there and says, it's my love that measures how much love I'm asking. So, okay, yes, I am to love. I agree with that. So I've got that point, right? I hope you're there with me. Yes, I know I'm supposed to love. Now how much love am I supposed to be giving out? Because, you know, I can't love everybody, James. And you can't. It's really the truth. You can't love everybody. But you can love everybody that God puts in contact with you. Or he wouldn't have put them there. Some of you are wondering why you've got the job you've got. Maybe that's because God wants those people loved by you. He put you in that place. All the people come to me and say, oh, James, pray for me. I just got all unbelievers. I go, awesome. They go, what are you talking about? I says, you got this great chance to be a witness, to be light. Even as I have loved you. How did he love us? He himself bore our sin in that body on the cross. That's how much he loved me. To take all of my filth upon himself that I might experience his blessing. That's incredible love, friends. I can't comprehend it, but I can agree to it. I can see that that's true. So understand this. It's not just a choice, but loving one another is costly. It's costly. Sometimes you step into situations and say, oh yeah, I'll do that for you. Hey, can I? Don't you love this one? Hey, would you do me a favor? The great American question. Hey, will you do me a favor? And what have you learned to say? Well, you can say, sure, or you can say, oh, what you have in mind? See, some of you have lived long enough to know, you know, you got to qualify that because some people will flat out take advantage of you. Jesus said, I want you to love like I love. And then he gave them the measure. Now remember, he's telling his disciples this before he's died for them. But in 15:13, he has this statement. Read it with me. You can look over there or you can read it on the screen. We can read together when I put it on the screen. That's what I like. We're all on the same translation this way. All right. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. That's love, is when you lay down your life. And the tendency that we have when we hear that is it goes instantly to the cross, and it should. He laid down his life for me. He literally chose to lay down upon that cross. People say, well, no, the Romans forced him. No, Jesus chose to. As he said, I could have called 12,000 angels. I think that could have handled Roman legion quite nicely. Thank you very much. You know, even the guys, when they came to arrest him, what did he say? It's me. I am. Poof. They're laying on their backs just by the glimmer of the revelation of who he was. Jesus had the power to do something else than go to the cross. He chose to lay down his life up on that cross. So when he says, love others as I have loved you, what's the cost? Now let me just be subtle. I'm trying. Everything. See, that's what he said last before. He says, if you don't let go of all your possessions, you really can't follow me. Because it'll cost you everything. That's what it actually costs. It costs everything. It may not cost everything today, but if you're going to follow him, you'll be tested in it every way. It will in some way extract everything from you to give it all back to God. That's what it's talking about. And we've got this... Careful, James. We've got this Christianity that we claim in America, and it's Christianity light. 1/10 to Jesus, I surrender. I'm going to give him... And we actually argue on that. Is it tithe really biblical? The point is that it's all his. And if he gave all for me, and I gave him my life, then I belong to him, and it's all his. Now, he may give it back to me to then manage according to the wisdom that he gives me, but it's to manage according to the wisdom he gives me for what? For the purpose of loving people. That's what you're here for. And everything you possess is given to you to love other people. Your personality, your relationships, your job, your money, your house, whatever you have, it's given to you to fulfill the commands that he gives you. The commands are not added on to your American lifestyle of seeking your own stuff. No, no. It's, I belong to him. So lay down your life. Now, but the love of Jesus Christ was demonstrated to his disciples before he went to the cross, was it not? When he was washing their feet that night, wasn't that the love of Jesus? When he was teaching his disciples how to pray, wasn't that the love of Jesus? See? The love of Jesus is not just demonstrated to us by dying, but by living. Does that make sense? So is the life of Jesus as well as the death of Christ that calls us to love as he loves. So what do I mean? You see, when Jesus corrected hypocrites, he was loving them, wasn't he? When he welcomed back prodigals, he was loving them. You see, when he touched the untouchable leper and healed them, he was loving them. And when he raised up the dead, he was loving them. When he restored sight to the blind, when he forgave the hypocrite, when he blessed babies, when he preached the word, his whole life was a demonstration of love. So I want you to see something, that love doesn't mean just, okay, I have to go sacrifice myself in the sense of go take a bullet or a scimitar for somebody, but that I will live my life. Somebody put it this way, he says, we want to come and bring our life to God. It's like $100 bill. He says, okay, God, here it is, it's my life. It's all for you, I give it up. God says, great, that's awesome, thank you. Just a second, I got to make some change. He makes change, gives it back to you in quarters and says, now go spend it wisely. That every choice and every expenditure of your life is giving your life back to God. It's not a point in time thing, it's a process thing. That you live it out in every response to your spouse, in every response to your children or your grandchildren or your grandparents. That's the love of Christ. Even when he called people to repentance, it was the love of Christ, wasn't it? That's what it was. And so, love one another even as I have loved you. You know, I'm excited to be the pastor of this flock, and I feel the love of this flock. It's an awesome family to be a part of. But I want you to know, when I talk about this stuff, I get excited. I want to say, abound still more. It doesn't mean I'm not seeing it. Because I see the love of Jesus in this congregation. I see it in all sorts of ways, you know. I see it when people take food to people that don't have food. I see it when people are teaching on a Sunday morning. They'd like to be sitting here just soaking it in like you are, but they're teaching children next door, or they're running the soundboard, or they're running the media, and they're serving you out of love for Christ. But I see the love of Christ there. I see it when people open up their homes and then let people come in and use their house for a small group. I see it when people choose to go visit the widow that nobody else remembers. I see it when grandparents are parenting their children by choice, even when their own children have walked away and they said, I will not lay down the gauntlet. I will raise my children for Christ. Oh yeah, would they prefer the empty nest and the glorious joy of retirement? Perhaps, but not for the sake of not loving. Friends, love is showing up here. And I just want to tell you, I'm excited to see it. And yet I want to say, abound still more. I want every person that comes through the doors of this building to feel the embrace of Jesus Christ. To sense that when they come in and go, what is it? See, sometimes it's not obvious to people. They don't know what that's like. I had a man come here, it was straight out of prison. He came through the doors. We were so excited to have him here. Family had been praying for him when he got out. And when he came through the doors, he literally fell apart and left. And the sad thing was, as we talked to the family later, and he says, I cannot go there. I'm just not ready to be loved like that. You know, we have to be careful. You know, not everybody wants the big hug. Sorry, Kathy. But we need to love with the love of Christ in such a way that people will be able to receive it through us, because that's why you're here on the planet. Because otherwise, you came to Christ, good, we got you, let's go home. Right? Why is he not instantly rapturing people out of here? Because he wants to pour it out through us. And so what you do when you give your life away, whether it's your spiritual gifts, whether it's your social gifts, whether it's your financial gifts, you're loving people. Yes, tithing is loving. It's a way to say, I'm going to honor God with a portion of what he's given to me, and I'm going to support the work of his kingdom. But notice what he says about this in the 35th verse. What's the impact? What's the point of what God is seeking to accomplish? We do what he tells us to do. That's obedience. But he says, here's what the effect it will have. Now, understand this. Stay with me for a second. This does not mean you can make this effect happen. You don't get to control how people respond. But what you do is you obey him, and he says, this is what I will do through your obedience. Look at it, the 35th verse there. He says, by this all men will know you are my disciples if, it's a choice. Remember, we talked about that already. If you have love for one another. The interesting thing is this whole thing we're talking about really is about the body of Christ loving each other, caring for each other. Yes, we're to reach out to those outside, but he says one of the most powerful things is how you treat each other inside, because there are some people who won't come inside because they've heard stories from people who were inside about how people treated them. Are you with me yet? Listen. Love speaks. Your life is a message. You don't get to choose how people interpret it. They get the right to interpret. That's what Jesus says. They've got the right to read your life and decide, are you a disciple or not, based on how loving you are. So here's the second thought I want you to get today, is that only loving as Jesus loves reveals who you're following. The only thing he says that's going to make somebody know that you are my disciple is to be a loving person. It's not by what you don't do. That's been a lot of mark for a lot of Christians. Well, I don't do this. I don't do this. I'm a Christian. I don't do that. I don't do that. Dead people don't do that either. That doesn't make them good Christians. It doesn't make them reflect the love of Christ. It's what you do. It's not, well, hey, I'm vegan. I go to church. I don't watch TV much. No. Do you love like Jesus loves? That's the proof of being a disciple. It's an overflowing heart. It's that there is a Jesus inside of you that just overflows and bubbles over on people out of your personality, out of your things that you love to do. Why does he say that? Because your love for others, for one another, it reveals what you value. It shows your heart values. And people read that. You can tell. You got people around you, you can tell their values by how they live their life. All right? Because when you look at someone who's loving like Jesus loves, you're going to see the source. Isn't that right? Because naturally speaking, we do not choose to love as Jesus loves. No, naturally speaking, we choose to do it for myself. Thank you very much. It's all about me. That's what this world is all wrapped up in. So when we start living in such a way that people go, what is it about you? Why do you do that? I can remember back when I was bivocational, it was really funny. Because in the grocery business where I was at, people are always fighting for hours. You know, they wanted more hours because the business, even back then, they would not give you necessarily a full slate of hours. But I went to work bivocationally. I was preaching. I wrote it on my application. They said, why do you want to work for Lucky Stores? I said, so I can preach the gospel in Carson City, Nevada. Interesting, the guy that hired me was a Jehovah's Witness. He hired me. Hallelujah. But when I would come in and people would be looking at their hours at the first of the week and people would be griping about it. Oh, I can't believe I got this. And I'm like, God, they gave me too many hours again. People are like, what do you mean you got too many hours? I says, I got something else I want to do with my life. This is not what life is. This is how I pay for what life is. He'll go, you are weird. And it's true. You guys all know that already. But when you live for something other than what everybody else is living for, they will notice your value system. That's what Jesus says. That's what the scripture says. In fact, they can tell if you're not living that way. He describes that in 1 John chapter 3, 16 and 17. Want to take a look at that there? Here's how we know love. Read it with me. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Okay? But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? When somebody looks at you and knows that you have the ability to meet a need and you close your heart against the need, he says, that doesn't look very loving. And the world makes those kind of judgments about us all the time. They do. And Jesus said they have the right to do that. Because your response to others is your response to the Savior. It really is. When Jesus gave the new commandment, he said, hey, I want you to love God this way. No, he says, I want you to love, you say you love me? Love your neighbor. Show me. In fact, over there in 1 John, he gets pretty blunt about it, doesn't he? He says, you say you love God, you hate your neighbor? What? You're a liar. That's what he says. So they have the right to do that. So love authenticates this whole thing. Love communicates to people that you are for real. Why is that important? Because you are full of a society that's full of phonies. There's a lot of hypocrites out there. Now, when people talk to you about hypocrite Christians, please don't defend hypocrites. Don't. I had a great time. I look at scripture. You remember that, Rich? We had that conversation. Rich was telling me years ago how much he hated hypocrites. I says, do you know what Jesus thinks of hypocrites? He goes, no, I haven't read the Bible. So I read it. And Rich says, I like that. He says, well, you might like Jesus more than you know. It was part of the process that brought him into the kingdom. Don't defend the hypocrite. Expose that hypocrisy. Say, that's not the way it is. But the fact is that people aren't hypocritical drug users, are they? They don't pretend to be something bad. They pretend to be something good. It means there is something real there. Just because there's fakes doesn't mean there's not real. We've got counterfeit money, so you quit using money altogether, right? No, you're just more careful with your money. Just because there's fake Christians doesn't mean you quit naming the name of Christ. You just be careful how you name it and how you live it, because your life is a message to the people around you. And what you love reveals what you value. Be careful about that in this culture, because there's an awful lot of stuff to love. And it can distract your heart from Him. That's a whole different sermon. And so what the world wants to know is Jesus real to you? Is He really in you? You claim that God lives inside of you. If God lives in your bod, it ought to look like it. You know, you ought to tell your face. Is He grumpy? Or is there a glorious peace that comes from walking it out with Him? By this all men will know you are my disciples if you have love for one another. By this. Friends, it is this idea of love that communicates this most radical concept. Who's watching you? Have you ever thought about that? Who's watching you? You know what I've discovered? You don't know. You don't know. You do not know who's watching, what they're seeing. When I was at the bivocational thing, I was always mixing it up. And people, you just didn't know. You don't know who's noticing your life. But I'm here to tell you this, that it's as we love, as Jesus loves, that it reveals Jesus to this lost world. When they see love showing up, then they go, oh, He's still here loving people. Look at how come you're so nice to those people? Those people aren't very nice to you. Love is light to blind people. The Bible says the world's blind, isn't that right? They can't see the light of the gospel because Satan's blinded their eyes, it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. But love opens blind eyes to see Jesus. They go, oh, look at how loving they are. 1 John 4:12. Put it this way. I like the picture that comes out of this. Read it with me. No one has seen God at any time. Stop. True? Not the Father. We've seen it in the Son. No one's seen God at any time. No one's seen God at any time. Yet, if we love one another, God abides in us and His love is perfected in us. What's He saying? No one has seen God at any time, but when you love, they'll see God in you. He abides in you. He flows out from you. And His love is perfectly, completely revealed through you. Isn't that an awesome thought? And you say, oh, James, you don't understand. I can't do that. According to this book, the weaker you are, the greater opportunity the Father has to flow through you. I know, I just really messed up some of your excuses. But the weaker you are, the greater opportunity, because now they'll see even more of Jesus, because I know how grumpy that guy used to be. Look how Jesus has changed that person. Look how Jesus has renewed that person. Friends, this issue of loving the lost comes by a lifestyle, but love communicates. All right? God is made visible by the loving acts of believers. All right? And it's, get this now, stay with me. It's believers toward believers. I'm not saying don't love unbelievers. Absolutely, you're to love everyone. But He says it's an especial thing. He says toward one another. It's this family connection that we're to go over and above and beyond for your own family. You see it there in Acts chapter 2. I don't have time to go there this morning. It's just sell what you have, take care of somebody else's needs. What does love look like? Sometimes it just looks like taking a meal to somebody. Sometimes it means just sitting with somebody while they cry or while they vent. Sometimes it means telling that person when they vent, you need to forgive that person. Not taking their story and spreading it on to somebody else. Sometimes it means paying somebody else's bill. Love looks like a lot of different things. But one of the things that you'll see when you read the scripture is that love always does something good. So let's look at it. Is that how I'm relating to people? It's always, am I always doing something good? It's an exciting way to live. All right? I've seen friends do this in the body, and it's happened so many times that this can refer to several of you. A friend knows this other friend and wants to see them know the love of Christ. And what will they do? They'll show them love. And at some point in that time, they'll invite them to church. Is it loving if you don't invite somebody to experience the love that you're experiencing? No, I keep that to myself. They don't want to hear about it. No, invite them in. And so I've seen it. And the person will invite me in and they'll come to church and they'll experience the love that's here. And they'll hang around. And all of a sudden they'll experience the one who is love. And now they become a follower of Christ themselves. And then they invite in their friends or their grandkids or their grandparents. I've seen it where grandchildren just keep inviting grandpa and keep talking to him about the Savior until they know that they know he's in the family. That's what love does. It will keep doing good things. But hear me on this. Be careful. Sometimes Christians get very practical. And I'm going to love this person so that. No. I love because he loved me. Not so that. I want to see something happen. No. I love people because I'm loved. Whether they ever come to Christ or not, I've made some awesome non-Christian friends that have told me they're never coming. I'm disappointed about that, but I'm going to love them whether they ever come, because that's what love does. It's not so that they'll come, and if they don't come, then I'm going to quit loving them. You know what I'm talking about? I know Christians, they kind of got this little knots thing, and they go talk to somebody, well, fine, you don't want to trust Jesus, you just go to hell then. Really? That is not my Savior. And so, don't love to get something. Love to give something. See, you're not doing this so you'll get a result. You're doing this because someone already gave you something. I have love to give. I will never, ever, ever run out of the love of Christ. I won't. I can't. It's full. It's sufficient. Unless what? Unless I close my heart to Him. So if you're feeling unloving towards some people, check your heart. Because as we said at the beginning, the whole walk of a disciple is a heart walk with Him. We've got it so good, we don't even have any idea. I was reading a story about a guy that came out of Syria. He talked about they came through and they'd marked their doors. And so he took his family. He says, we waited till midnight. We went out into the street. We were leaving town. He said the streets were crowded with Christians leaving our city. And he says, and then they robbed us on the edge of town. And he says, the Savior knows what he's about. I don't understand. We are a blessed people. Take that blessing and share that freely with this culture and around the world. That's what this is all about. When we love one another, it's going to encourage believers and it's going to evangelize the lost, because they'll see it. They'll recognize the difference. If you don't know what I'm talking about, if this whole idea is still quite foreign to you, let me just read one more verse of scripture to you from 1 John chapter 3. This is His commandment, that we believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as He commanded us. See, there's actually two great commands. Believe and love. Because you'll never love unless you believe. It doesn't come that way. You have to believe on Him. And everyone, the Bible says, who believes on Him receives forgiveness of sin. He'll take care of that. He paid for that. That's what He came for. That's what we're so excited about. And if you're not excited about the love of God, you need to take a look in your Bible and see what He's done for you. Because have you forgotten how good God's been? Have you forgotten how much He's forgiven? Oh my stars. Radical love changes everything. What do I mean? It will change you as you express it towards others. It will change others as they receive it from you. And it will change the lost as they observe you loving others. It changes everything. And the most radical thing you can do with your life is to love as Jesus loves you. That is the most fundamental and most extreme that you can ever do. And this book says that now abides faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. So I want to call you to a radical life. The most radical thing you can do with your life is to love others as Jesus loves you. And you will never, ever regret it. It'll cost you. But it's worth it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your faithfulness to us, your great mercy toward us, your kindness, and how you pour love over us again and again and again. But we've been wounded, we've been taken advantage of, we've been hurt, and sometimes we close up. And I just want to ask this morning, will you just open us up afresh to receive the love of Christ and to give the love of Christ? And may Christ speak to you this morning. This very moment as you listen to my voice, if you've never trusted Him, will you just tell Him that you need Him? I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. Lord, save me. And He will. Lord, open hearts to that this very day. And we'll give you the praise. In Jesus' name. Amen.